A preacher always only ever speaks for themselves, but I certainly now speak only for myself. This has been an awful week for me. Our beloved minister of music, Harry Huff, died just over a week ago, and I am heartbroken, and I don't know what this will mean for our church. I don't. The election was decided 5 days ago, and I don't know what that will mean for many of the people I love. I talk to them, and I read what they write, and I see the looks in their eyes, the cast of their shoulders, and I can see they're scared, because they don't know what will come. And I speak to the elders, the ones who have seen times of which this reminds them. And then I begin to get scared, because their life's tales are hard. All week long, I've been thinking of the passage we just heard a moment ago, about the end of Moses' life. Moses had been through a long and grueling time by any accounting. For 40 long years, Moses had been leading the people of Israel toward the promised land. And it was only faith in the promises of God, which were stronger than reason itself. It was only faith in the promises of God that could have kept Moses going. Promises of a place to live that would be good and broad, where hardship would cease, where people who had been enslaved and degraded and insulted and oppressed might stand with dignity and determine their own destinies. It was only faith in the promises of God that would keep Moses going on the wilderness paths. The wilderness paths were thorns. Thorns were all about, and despair, the only logical course. It was faith in the promises of God which spurred Moses to stay on God's path in the hard places. But then, too, there were the civilized places. The times where things had been pretty good, but the road ahead looked hard and charged. Times when it would have been tempting to say, maybe this is as good as it's going to get. Maybe it's wisest to forget these promises of God. Maybe to seek after the promised land is foolishness. Maybe it's better to dig in and hold on to what we have. In the maybe this is as good as it gets places, it was the promises of God that would spur Moses to keep moving, to refuse to settle for something less, to refuse to settle for less than something so wonderful it could only come from God. Now, it had been a long and grueling time by any accounting, 40 years of keeping faith with God's promises. But finally, at long last, Moses and the people, they came upon the promised land. It was sudden, like waking from a dream, like waking from an engulfing dream to find yourself surprisingly at home, in bed, safe. God's promises come to pass. The promised land, just over there, just over the hill, just across the river, so close you could smell it. And God called Moses to go up a high place, up onto a mountain, just as God had once before encountered Moses on mountaintop heights. And from there, God showed Moses a vision. It was farther than any eye could have seen from any height. But God showed it to Moses all at once. The promised land, the promises of God made real so that you could touch them. Seashore and riverbank, plowed fields and wild forest, vale and mountain, city and village, temple and palace, youth and old age, life and death. It was more than the eye could take in. It was the world as God sees it. The world as it is supposed to be. It was the world as God promised it would be. And Moses could see it with his own eyes. But then God said to Moses, Moses, you will not cross over there into the promised land. This is indeed the land promised to your ancestors, but you will not cross over there. And indeed, Moses did not. Moses died there in Moab, never having set foot in the promised land, having caught a glimpse of God's promises made real, but never experiencing them himself. And here I cannot help but interject on Moses' behalf and say, God, how could you do this to Moses? This is what he worked for. This is what he suffered for. This is what he hoped for. This is what you promised. He never would have kept going had it not been you who told him to wait for it. You're going to show him the promised land, but then not let him enter. What was this all for? Keeping faith. What was this all for? If Moses himself would not experience the promise made real. It doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right. But it does seem true. Moses' experience, Moses' story, this resonates with me for what I know of being a person of faith. His experience of the promises of God resonates with me as I understand God's promises. Because, as with Moses, the promises of God are not for my enjoyment. They are to be enjoyed, but by children. Children whose parents will not yet be born for an age. To live with faith. To live with faith in the promises of God. This is to be caught up in a journey. In a journey towards something so vast and wonderful. So vast and wonderful that its accomplishment will take longer than my own short lifetime. The work of which is too vast, too pure, to be accomplished with my own limited powers, my own shortcomings. To keep faith in the promises of God. This is like setting out to build a cathedral, a task that can span centuries, a task that will outlive any person who ever works on it. The Sagrada Familia in Spain was begun in 1880, and it is still unfinished. St. Peter's Basilica took 125 years to build. Westminster Abbey, 500 years. To sit down, to design a cathedral, to begin to build, to lay stone on stone and make a dream into reality, this is a kind of holy madness, a kind of sacred madness. It is to pour heart and soul and work and blood and life and breath into something that you know from the start will be unfinished on the day you die. That will only ever live in your mind's eye. It is a kind of holy madness, this faith. It is like planting sequoias whose branches you will never touch. It is like bearing a child whose life, you pray, will extend far beyond your own embrace. It is like leading the people of Israel through hard times for 40 years only to die on the doorstep of home. It is holy madness, sacred madness, this life of faith. To have faith in the promises of God is to enter into a way of living, a way of life that dares to dream for things that from the beginning we know we will never hold in our hands. To live with faith in the promises of God is to refuse to settle for dreams which are so small that we might reasonably achieve them in our own lives. To live with faith in the promises of God is to refuse to settle for dreams so paltry that we might accomplish them without the help of Almighty God. Now, a preacher only ever speaks for himself, and I know I speak for myself when I say, this has been an awful week. Our beloved minister of music, Harry Huff, died just over a week ago, and I don't know what this will mean for our church. The election was decided 5 days ago, and I don't know what this will mean for the lives of many of the people I love. I talk to them, and I read what they write, and I see the looks in their eyes, the cast of their shoulders, and I can see that they're scared. All week, I've been thinking about the end of Moses' life. I've been thinking about how faith in the promises of God kept him moving in the wilderness places where thorns were all about and despair the only logical course. And two, I've been thinking about how faith in the promises of God helped Moses keep moving in the civilized times, the civilized places where things had been pretty good and the road ahead looked hard and charged, times where it might have seemed like wisdom to say, maybe this is as good as it gets. Maybe what would be best is to dig in and hold on to what we have. Maybe it's best to give up on the promises of God. In the maybe this is as good as it gets places, I remember that faith in the promises of God is what allowed Moses to keep moving, to refuse to settle for something less, to refuse to settle for less than something so wonderful that it could only have come from God, a promise so dear that it would be certainty and certain madness to work for had it not been God's own voice that promised it would be so. To have faith in the promises of God is to work for a world that we shall not hold in our own hands. To have faith in the promises of God is to sacrifice for a world that is for others to enjoy fully. To have faith in the promises of God is to live toward a world where women and poor folks and black folks and LGBT folks alike can all thrive, where the well-being of anyone is made the business of everyone, where everyone will sit under their own vines and fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. We keep faith with a world so beautiful and peaceful and pure that perhaps if we should be as mighty as Moses, perhaps if we should be as faithful as Moses, perhaps if we should live to 120 years old, then maybe we shall catch a glimpse of him. Perhaps we just might greet death on the doorstep of home. Safe. With home just over the hill, just across the river, there. So close, you can smell it. A peaceable kingdom. Wars at an end. Hunger sated. Love the only law. Death forgotten. Every tear wiped away. by the very hand of God. To be a Christian, it is to live for the promises of God. It is to live by the promises of God. Nothing less.